So we're beginning a new season of Bible studies in women's ministry this year, and we're going to be looking at the book of 1 John. And it's a New Testament book that's got just five chapters, five small chapters. You can read it all in a chunk every month if you want to. And those five chapters are filled with theology and wisdom for Christian living. And that's not to be missed. That's got to be good for us, right? I want to set the scene a little bit with a bit of background info. There's a hint in the title. No. There's a hint in the title as to who wrote the book. It's not Peter, it's John. You can see there. This is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. And some very clever believe he wrote that in about AD 90 whilst he was a pastor living in Ephesus.
Oh my goodness.
Can you see Ephesus? Yeah, so John was an eyewitness to the ministry and teachings of our Saviour Jesus. He was there. He was one of the 12 disciples. And John is often referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved the most. This is that John. And there's a great picture of him with John. John's on the left of Jesus, look. There's Jesus. And that's from The Chosen. And if you're a Chosen fan, you'll recognise that. But just so you can visualise a person. So that's John. So this is like, it's like a pastoral essay that John has written to reassure spiritually confused Christians about eternal life and faith in Jesus. He aimed to straighten out a few doctrinal issues that had crept into the church to dispel any confusion about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be obedient and what it means to love. You'll discover he uses the word no quite a lot, and it's not no, N-O, it's no. He wants us to know things, and he wants us to be certain of those things, especially about the doctrinal issue of who Jesus is. And there's a moral issue about obedience, and there's a social issue about love. So, I was reflecting back just a few short years ago. We were certain that we could come to church on Sundays. We were certain we could go for coffee with friends. We could meet with our family. We could go to work even if we work. And then suddenly a global pandemic hit, didn't it? And things became less certain. We were destabilised and we were confused. But the one thing that remained certain for me was Jesus. And you'll discover that John uses this word that he wants us to know. He wants us to be certain throughout his book. So we are going to look a little bit. I've got seven studies that we're going to be looking at. Hang on. No. Yeah. And what I'm calling them is a pulse check. Now, we have some medics among us, don't we? I think we're all alive, aren't we? Are we all alive tonight? So what we're going to be doing, it's like a pulse check on these issues. So if we have any doubts, Johnny's going to give us the assurance through 1 John. It's about taking an honest observation about how we're doing spiritually. How am I doing? Okay. Does that scare you? Or does it excite you? But I want to say, if you feel a little bit scared about that, that's okay. But I want to encourage you, because this is God's will for us, to grow us to maturity, for us to spiritually grow. Because he loves us. And he's begun a good work in each and every one of us, and he wants to bring that to completion. So sitting under God's word together will move us in the right direction to enable us to live a life of obedience that will glorify our Heavenly Father. My prayer is for myself and for all of us is that we desire that more and more. So we've got seven working titles for us, seven individual studies over this year. And we're going to look at things like this: the heart of the matter, walking the talk, staying on track, family likeness, loving one another, abiding in Christ, and confidence in Christ. So they're all great subjects for us to be looking at and not to be missed. So we're going to just briefly, I want to do a brief overview and just picking up a few of those topics tonight. So three pulse checks we're going to do very quickly on belief, obedience and love. So pulse check number one, are we still alive? Pulse check number one, belief. How do we know that we're a Christian? See, false doctrine had entered the church in Ephesus. And it's something called Gnosticism, it's a big word. And it caused division amongst the believers in the church. And some teachers were saying that Jesus couldn't be God because God can't be sinful. Jesus can't be human and divine. That's what they were teaching, because God can't bear sin. So the folks in Ephesus were getting their knickers in a knot. How could Jesus be fully human and fully divine? But John is straight in there and he responds with great certainty right at the beginning of 1 John in verses 1 to 3. Let's have a look at what he says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So what is John saying here? He's addressing a doctrinal issue of who Jesus is. And he jumps straight in. If you can see at the beginning, straight away he's telling us that Jesus was there at the beginning of time. Even before the heavens and earth and all that is in them was created, Jesus was there. Can you see where it says that which from the beginning? And the word of life at the end of verse 1, that is Jesus. He is the word of life. He existed. Our triune God was. And John is pointing us there at the beginning to eternity past. He shows us that Jesus was there at the beginning. He confirms that Jesus had a human body. He confirms that he's seen him and touched him. And wonderfully as well, you know, no doubting for John, he wasn't confused at all. That Jesus was fully human and fully divine. We can see it there in black and white. Jesus is God incarnate. John was certain because he was there. And most wonderfully, John points us to the good news that we can have fellowship with the Father through Jesus and fellowship with one another. That's really important for us. So a question for us tonight. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say he is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That he's both fully human and fully flesh? Sorry, fully human and fully divine. I'm not looking at my notes. Have we grasped that truth? If you think you're a Christian but you aren't quite sure, John tells us this. And this is one of John's phrases. This is how we know. So this is how we know. If we love Jesus, we have eternal life. That's pointing us to eternity future. If we love his commands and if we love his people, that is how you will know. They're signs for our assurance. And it's not a pick and mix. It's not I'll have one and three. It's all three of them. So let's move on to pulse. Check number two, which is obedience. Another word for obedience is right living. Are we living right? If we claim to know Jesus and we don't obey him, then our words are false. And we deceive ourselves. When we truly know Jesus, we'll want to obey his commands and move towards right living. And I'm not talking about a legalistic tick list. I came to church on Sunday, tick. I went to life group, tick. I'm talking about allowing our hearts to be warmed, to be softened, to be changed, so that we'll be motivated to live differently. It's a heart attitude, sisters, a heart attitude. And we can ask ourselves this question: how do I know if I'm obeying the commands of God? Well, let's look at chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. It says, "We know we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Here we go again. This is how we know. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Can I encourage you to be moving towards right living? Move towards obedience. Delve into God's word. Abide in it. Get yourself rooted and grounded in it. Saturate yourself in it, so that you can come to know Jesus more and more. And allow the Holy Spirit to change your heart and to renew your mind. And as we move towards a deeper relationship with Jesus, you'll want to live a life of obedience. You'll want to do it, because your heart will be changed. You'll want to live right. So I'm going to quickly move on. Pulse check number 3, love. Do we love God's people? We're called to love one another. And we can only do that because Jesus loved us first. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 9 to 11, and see what John has got to say about love. This is how we know God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I want to zone in on verse 11 particularly. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Something that we should be moving towards at all times. And perhaps this is particularly important for us here at CBC as a church, as we move from 3 congregations to 2 new works. Now, I have to admit here, sometimes I'm a bit slow on the uptake. But last Sunday, I got so excited because Adam shared from Philippians 1 in the early service. And it was Paul's letter of encouragement to the church in Philippi. And what he was saying to them was, grow more and more in love. And I was kind of like doing a little jumping up and down inside, because I thought, I've just finished my talk. That's great. This is resonating with me. And Adam was laying down a bit of groundwork for me. So it was marvellous. He didn't know. So it was great. And as I was listening, my spirit stirred, because I realised that Paul was saying the same things to the church in Philippi as John was to the church in Ephesus, commanding us to love one another. So I realised it wasn't a localised issue. It was a global issue for us as a global church to love, the command to love one another. But then that brings it back to us here. It's a challenge for us to love one another here in Corsham, in Chippenham, in Neston, in Rudlow, in Cullern, wherever it is that you've come from tonight. It's an issue for us here. And it wasn't a coincidence. I didn't set it up with Adam, I promise, that he spoke on Philippi and that we chose this. Because this is something that the women's ministry team have prayed about and been seeking the mind of Christ out for many months before we get to this point. But I do believe that God's revealing something important to us through his word. He's confirming that we're called, commanded, even dare I say, to love one another. And I believe that God was revealing that to his through his word to me particularly. I like to call that a word in season, if you've heard that phrase before. So if you take nothing else away from tonight, know this: that the living Lord Jesus is active and at work in our church. He's calling us, commanding us to love one another as God loves us. Even those people who irritate us. Even those people who we don't like very much. And it's really funny, isn't it? Because I'm talking on this, I've been more irritated. I have to confess that because I want to be transparent. But I've dealt with it. I've repented and I've dealt with it. But it isn't a surprise that that kind of thing happens, is it? It's easy to love people that are like us, people that look like us, and people that like the things that we like. It's more of a challenge to love as Jesus loves us, without partiality, sacrificially, and unconditionally. It's more than that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's an action. This is how we know what love is. Jesus on the cross. He laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Loving one another will happen like a natural overflow of our hearts when we've understood what it is that Jesus has done for us. Showing us what love is by dying on the cross. I want to encourage us, sisters, let's be moving towards loving one another. Let's be the hands and feet of our church community and the community outside. So that's just very briefly what we're going to be touching on over this year. Some of the things, not all of the things, but it gives you a taste of where we're going. It's going to be an exciting and fruitful year, I believe. Because John's got lots of things to say and to point us to Jesus. I know you all want to shout hallelujah or amen there, but I realise it's getting late and you're full and you're tired. So that's okay. But I want to finish this evening by just sharing a wonderful quote by John Newton. He's the chap that wrote Amazing Grace, and he says this: I'm not the man I ought to be, I'm not the man I wish to be, and I'm not the man I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am not the man I used to be. And we can put woman there, can't we? I am not the woman I ought to be. But what a great quote.
Did you just read that again?
Yes. Yeah. I am not... I'll change it and say woman for the benefit of us here tonight because we're all women. I'm not the woman I ought to be. This is something we can take on board. I'm not the woman I ought to be. I'm not the woman I wish to be. And I'm not the woman I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am not the woman I used to be. That's because he's moving. He was moving. His heart was moving in obedience and love to Jesus, his Saviour. And my prayer for us all as we study 1 John together is that we'll grow in confidence by believing Jesus is who he says he is. And by moving towards obeying his commands. And by moving towards loving the people of God.